This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to A Juz A Day. Today we are covering the 27 Juz of the Quran. 27 Juz of the Quran we will cover today. And then tonight after Maghrib, we will be entering the 27th night of Ramadan. Oh, sorry, one sec. Yes. We will be entering the 27th night of Ramadan. And that is the very blessed opportunity for us to look for the night of power, the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, the night that is better than, that has more goodness than 1,000 months. So do not miss out on that opportunity. Try your best to do as much as you can. Pray your salah. Give a little bit of charity. Make lots of dua. Ask Allah sincerely for what you want, meaningfully for what you want. And read a bit of Quran, because Quran was revealed in the night of power. So to commemorate that beautiful instance, to commemorate the beautiful moment of the Quran's revelation, we recite some Quran on that night. Right, we were going to start today. We are going to pick up from Surah Al-Dhariyat, Surah number 51, which is the Surah that we find at the very beginning of the Juz. This Juz, the 27 Juz, has Surah 51, Dhariyat, Surah 52, Surah Tur, Surah 53, Al-Najm, Surah 54, Al-Qamar, Surah 55, and a very beautiful Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah 56, Al-Waqi'ah, and Surah 57, Al-Hadid. That's the list of the Surahs that are in it. Let's get started. Let me share my screen. Allah SWT says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذاريات ذروة فالحاملات وقرا فالجاريات يسرا فالمقسمات أمرا إنما توعدون لصادق وإن الدين لواقع. Very important introduction. He says, by the winds that scatter the dust and those that bear the burden of rain and those that are speeding along with ease, and those that are distributing the command of Allah, the command of God at His behest. إِنَّمَا تُعَدُونَ لَصَادِقْ. What you are promised is certainly true. And for sure, إِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعْ. The judgment, the day of judgment, will surely come to pass. You will be held accountable, that is for sure. The theme of the surah is Allah gives and Allah takes. The surah wants us to understand this point. This is what Allah wants us to understand from the surah. Allah will give and Allah will take, and that is evident in the oath, by the winds that scatter the dust. Dhariyat, these are the winds that in a way they prevent the vegetation from growing, they prevent rainfall from falling. Whereas alhamilat, they are the ones who bring something. They carry the rain clouds and then bring them, or they seed the rain clouds and cause rain to fall. So it's the contrast between the oaths is set up as such so that we are understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives and He's the one who takes. He's the one who allows, He's the one who prevents. And this is a very beautiful theme of this surah. Okay, Allah enables us, allows us to enjoy our lives and to become well off and affluent by allowing us to sail on ships. That's what jariyat yusra means. This sail, the ships sail easily. The angels enable us to, Allah enables us through angels, supports us through angels, protects us through angels. All of these are examples of Allah preventing and giving, right? He takes and gives, He prevents and He allows. And that is the power of Allah Almighty. And then after taking that oath, He says, the day of judgment, your promise is going to happen for sure. It will be a reality. You will be held accountable. That's the day Allah will give exactly what's due to everybody. A deen is literally that. It's like the word dain, which is a loan. You pay back exactly what you owed. A deen is the day you're paid back exactly what you're owed as well. وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعَ. Okay. The surah begins by mentioning some description of people who are wicked, and contrasting that with people who are righteous. قُتِلَ الْخَرَّاصُونَ, may the conjecturers perish. Okay, and that this is something that conjecture here, خَرَّاصُونَ, is somebody who الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي غَمْرَةٍ سَاهُونَ, flounder in the depths of ignorance. And their conjecture or their debate is not academic. Their debate is, you know, steeped in ignorance. They say, when will the day of judgment come? يَوْمَ هُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ. It will be the day when they are tormented on the fire. They're, you know, entered upon the fire. That's the day. That's what they're asking about. ذُوقُ فِتْنَتَكُمْ, taste your trial. Taste this thing that you're in now. That is what you sought to hasten. Contrast that with the believers. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. Surely the God-fearing will find themselves in the midst of gardens and springs. أَخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. They shall receive what their Lord will bestow upon them. They have done good works in the past. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. Not just good works, they had done excellence. They had lived with excellence. They had, whatever they did in life, they did with excellence. So they will be on this day rewarded by this paradise. And what you get in it is whatever you want. أَخِذِينَ مَا أَتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ, you're taking it happily. They were of those who slept little at night, meaning they would wake up at night to pray. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Excuse me, ayah number 18. They would pray for God's forgiveness at the time of suhoor, at the time of dawn. This is a very beautiful thing. These are people who are up at night, and then despite them being so at such a high level spiritually, does not make them arrogant. They're still asking for Allah's forgiveness because they know that they have shortcomings. That is the peak of spirituality. You are exerting yourself, but also at the same time not thinking that you're so special. You are humble and you know that you have flaws and you're asking Allah to forgive those flaws. There's an element of spirituality and then there's an element of philanthropy. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, sharing their possessions with those who are asking. Sa'il is not a beggar, but someone who is asking. وَالْمَحْرُومِ, and someone who is deprived. It's a very beautiful image if you think about this. Sa'il is someone who's asking. Mahroom is somebody who is not asking but doesn't have. These people are able to support those who need help and they're asking for help, and those who need help and they don't ask for help. That is the level of emotional intelligence or witheredness they have with the people, that they are able to spot who needs help. Their spirituality does not disconnect them. They don't become like monks that they are disconnected from the world. No, their spirituality actually connects them even more deeply to the world around them. And they're able to make a very positive change because of that. That is the people. That's the righteous that Allah describes. That is what we hope to become. And we ask Allah to make us of these people who pray at night, who are doing whatever we do with excellence. We are asking for His forgiveness and we're helping those who are asking for help and helping those who are not asking for help. This surah has the mention of many prophets, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave many prophets, despite the odds. Here is an example. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ دَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ, ayah 24. Have you heard the story of Abraham's honored guests? When they entered, when they came to him, and they said, peace, he replied, peace. All right? And he said to himself, قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. He said, these are strangers. He didn't recognize them. So he turned quickly to his household and brought a fat calf, bi'ajlin samin. It's a calf that had fat in it. This is something that if you make steak, you know, you need some marbleization in your steak for it to taste good. So he brought that nice cut of meat. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ, he placed it before them and he said to them, will you not eat? فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَ, beginning to be afraid of them, he started to be afraid because he thought these were assassins. Assassins would not eat from the food of the people they would assassinate. So now he was worried, but then they said, don't be afraid. And they revealed themselves to be angels. وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. This is an example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim al-Islam against the odds. So much so his wife was, she came forward and فَصَكَّتْ وَجْهَهَا, beating her brow. She was like, like this. She's like, really? I'm going to have a child. Ajuzun aqim. I'm a barren old woman. I've never had a child. This is Sara radiallahu anha, the first wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They said, such is the will of your Lord. He is the wise and all-knowing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave against all odds. But Allah can take. Ibrahim alayhi salam knows the angels didn't just come to tell him that he has, you know, he's having a baby and they're having a baby shower or something. No, the angels came with some other news. So he said, what is your errand? What is it that you're here for, O angels? They said, we are here. We've been sent to a sinful people to bring upon them a shower of stones of clay. These are marked by a Lord for the punishment of those who are guilty of excesses. And then we took out from this town the faithful, but only one house. We found them to have believers in it. And this is the people of Lut alayhi salam. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. He gave Ibrahim, and then he mentions he took away from Lut. You see, this is an ayah. تَرَقْنَا فِيهَا آيَةً لِلَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَلِيمِ. We left therein a sign for those who are fearful, who fear a painful punishment. Allah mentions other prophets. Musa in ayah number 38. Ayah number 41. Ad, right? But the prophet that was sent to Ad is Hud alayhi salam. Okay, Thamud, the people of Thamud are mentioned, ayah 43. The people of Noah before, ayah number 46. All of these are mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are people Allah gave them plenty, and then they rejected their prophets. They became arrogant. They had a lot, and they thought that a lot was going to be enough for them to, you know, they didn't need anything else, let alone worshiping Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them, showing that they were qawman fasiqeen, as a result, or as because they were a sinful, rebellious people. He turns to his signs in the universe, in the cosmos. And this is, as you notice, a consistent theme in the Quran. The Quran consistently appeals to history and appeals to nature. Stuff you, history, there is lessons in it for you. From people's behavior, and then nature, there's lessons in it for you to see the magnificence of God all around you. وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُسْيُعُونَ. We built the universe with our might, giving it vast expanse. Okay, that's one translation. A more literal translation of it would be, we constructed the heaven with strength, and indeed we are its expander. Right, السَّمَاء is the sky, right? And وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْدَهَا, the earth you spread out, and excellent is the preparer. This is نِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how well has He spread this earth out for us. The sky, how it's in its glory. And all the stars that are in the sky, and all the galaxies, almost unimaginable, right? How majestic is that? Allah says, we've created that vast universe, that is Allah's power. And the earth, you know, that from our vantage point, it's vast, it's spread out. You can keep walking, and you know, really, you can walk until you die, and you will not reach the end of the world. You'll start to loop around or something, right? It's so spread out and so majestic and so expansive. Everything is created in pairs so that you may reflect. Just to show you're dependent, to show that we are dependent on someone else and someone else is dependent on us. But Allah, our creator, is independent. So come back, hasten to God. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Truly, I am sent by Him to give you clear warning. Do not make other idols with God. I come to you with a plain warning. The surah, this فَفِرُّوا, flee to Allah, run to Allah, is a very beautiful idea. The idea is you... run to Allah, because that is where you find your purpose. That's where you find your meaning in your life. The meaning of our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, ayah 55, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Keep on reminding, because the reminder benefits the believers. And then He says, our purpose, I have created jinn and mankind only so that they might worship Me. That's our purpose. To find our Lord is our purpose in life. To then devote ourselves to our Lord in the way He asks is our purpose in life. And that devotion isn't only through rituals. That devotion is comprehensive in all aspects. It's all encompassing in all aspects of life. That's what ibadah, that's what worship is. Rituals are only a part of the worship. Ibadah, worship is helping others. Worship is partnering on the signs of Allah. Worship is being just. Worship is doing business ethically. All of these and many more things is worship. But all of this is done for the sake of Allah, keeping His guidelines in mind. That is when a person has attained the purpose of their life. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقِ I seek no sustenance from them, nor do I want them to feed me. It is Allah who is the sustainer, the one who is mighty, the invincible. He is the one who provides. He doesn't need us to provide for Him. We need to Him so we find our purpose. He doesn't need us. فَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا ذَنُوبًا مِثْلَ ذَنُوبِ أَصْحَابِهِمْ فَلَا يَسْتَعْجِلُونَ The wrongdoers will meet the same fate as their predecessors. It won't be any different. So let them not hasten to ask me, not ask me to hasten the punishment. This is going to come inevitably. Don't be that arrogant that you think you will escape. And on that day, when that does happen, woe will be to those who are bent on denying the truth, for they have been promised that day. Then you have Surah At-Tur. That's right here, At-Tur by Mount Sinai. This is an oath by Mount Sinai. And the theme of this surah is this ayah, ayah number 7. Inna عذاب ربك لواقع. Your Lord's punishment is real. ما له من دافع. There is no one that can avert it. That's the theme of the surah. But let's read the oath first. The oath is quite beautiful. Six ayahs of oaths. At-Tur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by Mount Sinai. Wa kitabin mastur, and the scripture penned. This is the book that is penned by Allah, the scripture. Fi raqqin manshur, on unrolled parchment. Wal bayt al ma'mur, and the much visited house. This is the house in the heavens. This is the house of Allah. The Kaaba of the angels is called Bayt al Ma'mur. Wa saqf al marfu', and the lofty vault of the sky. والبحر المسجور and the swelling sea إن عذاب ربك لا واقع the punishment of your Lord shall come to pass and no one can avert it. What is this? This is a highlight. At-Tur is a highlight of Mount Sinai and كتاب مستور is and ورقم من في كتاب مستور في رقم منشور is one oath but it's in two ayat. Okay, it's a reference to the scripture given to Moses. Alayhi salam. Okay, so this is an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that scripture to, they could not avoid the punishment of Allah when they did not follow the scripture. In that, there's a sign. Wal bayt al ma'mur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels that visit him for visit his house in the heavens, and these angels are so numerous that if an angel gets to make tawaf around Bayt al-Ma'mur once, they won't get a turn again until the end of time. That's how many angels there are there. Allah doesn't need our worship. We need Him. He doesn't need worshippers on earth. He has uncountable worshippers in angels. Okay? وَالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ the lofty sky and the swelling sea. These are realities that you see. You see how the sea swells up and the sea is a source of comfort. We can sail on it. We find it enjoyable to view, to look at, but it can also be a source of discomfort when it swells up and floods. That is the idea. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِي The punishment of your Lord will come and it will take place. No one can stop it. Just like when there's a flooding sea, no one can stop it. Same thing. No one can stop this from happening. يَوْمَ تَمُورُ السَّمَاءُ مَوْرًا What's going to happen? A description on the day of judgment. On the day when the skies are convulsed, tamuru samau maura, right? They are going to be convulsed. But the siru jibalu saira, the mountains shudder and shake. Okay, as I mentioned before, the day of the earth on the day of judgment will be turned into a different type of earth. So these laws of physics that we know and see today are going to be scrapped, and the earth will be redefined in its laws. So the mountains are shuddering and shaking, and they're kind of like they're actually drifting away like they're tufts of wool. فَوَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ On the day when things are turned upside down, in the physical world, those who deny the truth will be the ones who will regret and will suffer. They are the ones who divert themselves with idle chatter. Fi khawdin yal'abun. Khawd is things that are frivolous and useless, things that don't bring anything or any benefit. You know, classic example of this is entertainment, right? Entertainment, while there is halal entertainment and haram entertainment obviously is impermissible, something that's shameless, something that invites to immorality, that is impermissible, okay? Halal entertainment is something that is just doesn't have those aspects. But even in that, if a person drowns themselves in that, and that becomes their life, and that is how they are defined, the amount of shows they watch, the amount of seasons of a show they have seen, how many movies they have seen, how many times they go to like a baseball game or a basketball game, how many, you know, stats they remember. If that is what defines their life, that is just play and entertainment. And that kufr is not just rejecting theology or rejecting a prophet. Kufr is that being drowned in entertainment, so you forget the purpose of your life. يَوْمَ يُدَعُونَ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَى. On that day, they shall be ruthlessly thrust into the fire of hell, and it will be said to them, this is the fire you used to deny. Deny either in speech or deny by your actions. You're like, hey, there's no accountability. I'm just going to do what I need to do, enjoy myself. Denying either way. Okay. Is this magic? You said this was all made up, right? Do you think this is made up now? Isloha fasbiru aw la tasbiru. Enter it now. Whether you behave patiently or impatiently, it will make no difference. It doesn't matter whether now you are patient or not. Those qualities and characteristics were asked of you when you were in the world. And this is not oppression. You are being repaid for what you have done. Only being repaid for what you have done. Ayah number 17. Innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa na'im. Very important ayah. This is now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he speaks about the people of the fire of hell, he will speak about the people of Jannah. Because he wants us to be afraid of the possibility of ending up in the fire. And then also be inspired by and be hopeful of the possibility of being in paradise. Innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa na'im. Truly the God-fearing will dwell on that day in gardens and bliss. Faakihina bima atahum rabbuhum. Very similar ayah as the previous surah. Akhirina, they were taking, here they're enjoying whatever their Lord is giving, right? So you can say they're taking whatever the Lord is giving and they're enjoying whatever their Lord is giving, and their Lord would have saved them from the torment of the fire. They will be enjoying by eating and drinking and, you know, hani'an, with good cheer, eat, drink, and be merry because of what you used to do. Beautiful. But not just that, you are enjoying the company of good people. That is a supreme type of enjoyment. You're relaxing on these beautiful couches. You have sexual gratification. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. Both genders, by the way, will have ultimate sexual gratification, not just the men only. But the حُور عِين obviously are specifically mentioned with relationship to the men. However, as I mentioned, both genders will attain the peak of pleasure for as long as they want, as much as they want. This is a type of unrestricted enjoyment that Jannah represents. But it's not just physical pleasures about chilling and eating and, you know, being gratified sexually. There's actually a lot more. For example, the fulfillment of making, of seeing your family with you in paradise. Okay, those who have وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ. Those who attained to faith, they were believers. We shall unite their offspring who also have also followed them in faith. Their offspring that are faithful will join them in paradise. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we shall not let any of their good deeds go unrewarded. Every one of their deeds will be rewarded, and Allah will elevate those people from paradise, because paradise is level. So if like there's a father, for example, in like a high place in paradise, but his kids and grandkids are in lower places in paradise, Allah will elevate the lower kids and bring them to the level of where the father was, so that they can all be together. that is an ultimate, you know, enjoyment. That's an ultimate blessing. The Quran says about the people of paradise. وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. They will converse with each other, putting questions to each other, asking about how did we make it to paradise? What was your story in the world? They would say, إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. When we were with among our families, we were full of fear of God's displeasure. Okay, we were afraid of God's punishment. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. But God has been gracious to us and saved us from the torment of hell's intense heat. We were afraid of it. We prayed. Inna kunna min qablu nad'u. We used to pray to him. Innahu huwa al-barru rahim. He's the beneficent, the merciful. We made dua. We were afraid of the fire of hell. We asked Allah to deliver us from it, and he delivered us, because he is the beneficent, the merciful. We ask Allah to be among those. Now, the Prophet is being told, fadhakkir. As you notice in the previous surah, fadhakkir, remind, because the reminder benefits the believers. Here again, fadhakkir, remind, because your job is to remind. You are not a person who's possessed. You're not a soothsayer. You're not a madman. You are the most righteous person. Your job is, though, to remind and just convey the message. Now, 12 times you will notice the word will repeat. Over here, number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five, etc., etc. So I'll point this out as we go through. 12 times it will repeat in this surah. This is, is used for asking a question, right? Means or. But or, specifically when you're asking a question, did you sit down or were you standing up? When you ask a question, that's when you use So here Allah is asking a question. Is this the case or that's the case? Is this the case or that's the case? And when this is the line of reasoning, it's what's called deductive reasoning, right? It's deductive reasoning and logic. It's to say there's two possibilities or three possibilities. Which one is it, right? And if two of the three are ruled out, then it's only the third that remains as the only logical possibility. So they say, "Am yaquluna sha'irun natarabbasu bihi raib al-manun." Okay, they say he's a prophet or he's a poet. They would say, for example, right? And they're waiting for some misfortune to befall him. Wait, I'm waiting as well for that misfortune to befall. The idea here is the prophet is a reminder, a warner, a messenger, right? Is they're saying he's either this, or he is what they're claiming him to be. And clearly his actions, clearly his character is not of the things that they say him to be. He is a prophet and a reminder. أَمْ تَأْمُرُهُمْ أَحْلَامُهُمْ بِهَذَا أَمْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ. This kind of statements that they're making, is it from their minds or is it because they are a insolent people? Okay, what is the reasoning why they would say this about the prophet who they have known their whole lives? أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَهُ بَلْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Or are they saying he has invented it, this Quran? Indeed, they are not willing to believe. If they think that he has made it up, then they are just as good as him, right? So why don't they produce a scripture like it if what they say is true? If they think this is this is a revelation from a human being, then make another one like it. What's stopping you from it? If that's not the case, if you can't do that, if you're accusations against him don't add up, if what you're saying is unjust, then what's left is he is logically the only explanation for this remains that he is receiving revelation from God. And that's what the Quran wants them to consider. What about you as a human being? Am khuliqu min ghayri shay'in am humul khaliqun? Were they created out of nothing or are they their own creators? Would you come into existence? Does something come from nothing? Is that possible? Okay. Or were you already is something and then you made the rest of you? You're already something in existence, always had been, always eternally you were there in some form, and then you made yourself into the way you were. And were you as you were something that made yourself into what you were? Did you also make the rest of the cosmos? Because if there's no creator, who made the rest of this? Which of these possibilities are really there? Okay, possibly number one, you came out of nothingness. Possibility number two, you came, you were always something, أَمْهُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ, and then you made yourself. And also you made everything else around you, okay? As a human genus. Or there was a creator who brought you into existence. Which of the three is logical? The most feasible, okay? That's the question. أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْهُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ. So this line of reasoning continues until the very end of the surah. And Allah concludes by saying, ayah number 43, أَمْ لَهُمْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. Do they have a God other than Allah? Right? Really, if you look at this, who is worthy of your worship at the end of the day? Subhanallah, he amma yushrikun, exalted be God over what they ascribe to him as partners. If they see, وَإِنْ يَرَوْ كِسْفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ سَاقِطًا يَقُولُ سَحَابٌ مَرْكُومٌ. If they were to see a part of the sky fall, they would say, oh, this is a mass of clouds. Meaning, even if Allah was to show them some supernatural, superhuman miracle, they would try to explain it away as some natural phenomena. So they're not interested in believing. Even if Allah showed them some great miracle, even after the Prophet was sent to them. So, oh, what do you do, O Prophet, to them? فَذَرْهُمْ. Leave them. Leave them alone till they face the day on which they will be struck dumb. يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُصْعَقُونَ. They will be dumbfounded. What is this thing? We can't believe all what he has said is coming true. But on that day, all of their scheming will not bring them any good. And on that day, وَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا عَذَابًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Those who do wrong, there is a punishment besides that. The punishment of the fire of hell, most of them don't realize what is in store. Oh, Prophet, what do you do? Oh, the rest of us, what do we do when we are in these situations? فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient. Wait patiently for the judgment of your Lord. For you are certainly under our watchful eye. Allah is our protector. We focus on what we can do. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. Glorify and celebrate the praises of your Lord when you rise up from your sleep. And when we wake up, the first thing that we should say is to praise Allah that He has given us another day to live. That He has given us restful sleep. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحُ. And then extol His glory at night, at the setting of the stars. Before you go to sleep, you glorify Him and you pray. So the idea is at the two ends of the day, you are glorifying Him, you're remembering Him, you're in touch with your purpose, and you are patient, waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us through what He has brought us to. Surah An-Najm, Surah 53, speaks about the star. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. But not any star, but the star that sets. Hawa, by the way, is an interesting word. Hawa is for something to fall, right? From the same word, you get desires. Al-hawa. Ahwa'ahum. Same word, same etymology. Hawiya, yahwa is for something to fall. Hawa yahwi, excuse me, for something to fall. And hawiya yahwa, the same etymology is for something to be, for desires. Okay? The idea is of someone who's following their base desires, they are leading themselves to destruction. They're descending into destruction. That's the idea. And that's a very interesting idea from the etymology of the word. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. Though this surah doesn't speak about that point, that's just a tangent that I was going to share with you. What is it going to speak about? By the setting star. Okay, the star that disappears. مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Your companion has neither strayed nor is he misguided. He isn't, like the star. The idea of the misguidance here is the star, the north star, doesn't set. The north star is there and it tells you where north is, and then you can use that to guide you as you traverse the world. The star that's not the north star is going to flicker and set, and you don't, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. That's not useful for guidance. The Prophet ﷺ is not like that star that will dim and fade away. He is actually the one who is he's not misguided. He is the one who has not strayed, just like the North Star does not stray. وَمَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. What he says is not out of his own desire. Okay, from hawa, his whims, from what he wants. It's not that. What he says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It is nothing but revelation sent down to him. It's what he, what comes out of his mouth is Quran, revealed by Allah. What he says about the deen, about the sharia, is inspired by Allah, but it's its words. Both of those are revelation that he receives. A man would come and ask the Prophet a question, and if he didn't know the answer, he wouldn't say anything until Allah revealed to him revelation, and then he would respond. Either the revelation was revelation of ayah of Quran, or that would be a hadith. The Prophet is saying what Allah is telling him, but in his own words. The Quran would be the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So that is what he is. He is not the one who has misguided. He's not misguided, nor is he going to misguide you, because he only speaks from revelation. He only speaks from revelation, and that is why he is the carrier of guidance. He is taught by an angel who is mighty in power. The revelation is from Allah, the mightiest. The angel who taught him is a mighty angel. The one who was taught, Prophet ﷺ, is the mightiest prophet. The mightiest angel taught the mightiest prophet. Sorry, excuse me. Dhu mirratin fastawa, endowed with wisdom, who in time manifested himself, wa huwa bil ufuqil a'la, standing poised at the highest point of the horizon. Thumma tana fatadalla, then he came close, fakana qaba qawsaini aw adna, until he was two bow lengths away or even closer. Fa awha ila abdihi ma awha, and then he revealed to God's servant what he revealed. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. The heart of the Prophet did not misconstrue what he saw. This is talking about the journey of the Mi'raj. The journey of the Mi'raj is when the Prophet ﷺ ascended the skies, the heavens, to go to the highest heaven, the highest allowable point, to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that journey, he saw Jibreel in his original manifested form. And Jibreel revealed to him the revelation that Allah sent him, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him up to the heavens, and that's where he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many beautiful things were revealed to him there, including the prayer, the five times daily prayer. So this is the what's mentioned in the beginning of Surah Najm to tell us that the Quran is divinely inspired, it's divine revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is someone who is a follower of this divine revelation picked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that we should be following as well. Ayah number 31 speaks about a beautiful description of the righteous, those who live by the revelation. Okay, excuse me. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. Everything in the heavens and on the earth belongs to God, and so he will requite those who do evil in accordance with their deeds. They're not going to get, it's not going to be more punishment. It's going to be equivalent. It's going to be just. وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى, and will reward those who left with that which is best for those who do good. Reward those left with that which is best for those. I don't know what he's saying there. I don't think the translation is accurate. Let's see what he says here. And he may recommends those who do good with the best reward. Yes, that makes more sense. يَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. What is this? As you notice, أَحْسَنُوا has the same three letters there. Ha, Seen, and Noon. حُسْنَى has the same three letters. Ha, Seen, Noon. You might notice that. Okay. What is this? The significance of this? الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا, they did the best that they could. They lived with excellence. Their reward will be husna, the best, the most excellent thing. That will be their reward. It will be, they tried their best, their reward will be the best. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Who are these people? Who are these people who tried their best? Who are these people who followed the revelation and lived this beautiful life, and that they will be rewarded with the best in the next life? They are the ones, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. Who are these people? They are the ones who avoid the major sins and immoralities. Sorry, excuse me one second. They are the ones who avoid major sins and immoralities. يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ, except what is slight. Here's the beautiful thing. It's understood we are going to make mistakes. The Quran and Sunnah don't expect us to be perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not expecting us to be, you know, perfection. Absolutely not. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be is the ones who leave the bad things of life, the major sins in Islam. See that there is nuance in the study of Islam. There is nuance in the study of the Sharia, because that's law, right? There is details there. There's nuance in everything. But if you want to simplify your life, you're like, you know what? This is all too detailed. I don't have time for that. People came to the Prophet and said that, Ya Rasulullah, this is, you know, awsini wa awjis. Ya Rasulullah, tell us something simple. Okay? Make things easy. Remind me, but give me something that's easy as something to do. The Prophet would tell them straightforward things, like, make sure you're remembering Allah at all times. Someone would come and say to the Prophet, oh Prophet, remind me and, be concise. The Prophet would say, well, don't get angry. This is, you know, this character flaw is hurting you, getting emotional. It doesn't help you deal with the difficulties of life. So the idea is that there is nuance, but also there's some stuff that's simplified. So that if you want that, this is what it is. Don't do the major sins. Stay away from the major sins. Okay. And stay away from shamelessness and immorality. And whatever little mistakes you do, inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfira. Your Lord is vast in forgiveness. He will forgive them. Know that, believe that, live like that. Okay. And as long as you're doing that, alhamdulillah, you're good. See, it's to stay away. Again, avoid is not a good translation. I don't know why they keep using this word. Yajtanibuna is they stay away. They, you know, shun them. They are completely away from it. Okay. Major sins, immoralities, little mistakes are okay because Allah will forgive them. He knows you. He was the most knowing of you when He produced you from the earth. And when you were fetuses in the wombs of your mothers. Produce you from the earth is when Adam al-Islam was made from the earth. And then when you were with ajinnatun fi butuni ummahatikum, we were fetuses in the wombs of our mother. He knew us from that time. From the time where we existed as souls, from the time of Adam, to the time where we were fetuses, and then our souls were brought into our body and our flesh and became one with it. From that time, He knows us truly well. Okay? فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not claim yourselves to be pure. You are a flawed person. Try your best to be, avoid sins and ask for forgiveness. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنَ اتَّقَى. Okay? This is that. A very beautiful reminder of those who live with revelation. Their focus is to shun, to completely stay away from the major sins and the indecencies, the immoralities, the shamelessness, and everything else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive, and everything else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up for them. Don't let that turn you into arrogance. You think, I'm so pure, I'm so good, I don't do anything bad. Don't do that, because Allah knows us. Stay humble, but simplified version of Islam, keep away completely from major sins and immoralities. And that's it. Everything else will take care of itself. Wallahu a'lam. Now the Quran speaks about a very interesting passage. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى. Have you seen the one who turned away? وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى. He gave a little and then later held back. You know, like he gave little and then even little later on. This is talking about, you know, the scholars mentioned that this is referencing one of the evil people from Mecca. But really, it is applicable to anybody. Anybody who looks at the message and then rejects it and turns away. Anybody who starts to be generous and then stops being generous. أَعْطَى قَلِيًا وَأَكْدَى. أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ. Do they have the knowledge of the unseen? أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى. Has he, you know, like, does he think that he's going to get away with it because he knows something that, like, has attained salvation? He has the knowledge of the unseen. أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى. Has he not been made acquainted with what was written in the scripture of Moses and with the scripture of Abraham, who kept his word. What is that? What is the message? The divine message of the past. Remember, the surah's theme is divine revelation. The Quran, it starts with the Quran and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's going to conclude with the divine message of the scripture of the past. A summary of it. Allah taziru wa ziratu muzra ukhra. Number one, no soul shall bear the burden of another. You can't blame others for your sins. You can't get away with it because everyone is doing something wrong. Okay? Wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. And that man will have only that which he strives for. Again, insan is human. Humans will have what they strive for. In this life, if you work hard, you get what you work hard for. And also in the next life, that is what was part of the message. Number two. Number three, وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. The fruit of his striving shall soon be seen. There's too many S's there. The fruit of his striving shall soon be seen. This is like alliteration that's tripping me up here. ثُمَّ يُجَزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى. And in the end, he will be repaid in full, not shortchanged in the least. And that is because all good things, all things at the end return to God. He is the one who brings laughter and tears. In وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. Allah is the one who brings joy into our life and brings us sorrow. But there's wisdom in both. If you only had joy, you would actually not understand what joy is. You will forget and you will take it for granted. You won't even probably recognize it. If you only had sorrow, that will probably kill a person, okay? But the mixing of the two makes us appreciate joy so much more. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. He is ultimately the one who gives, causes death and takes life. All this, أَنَّهُ, this is part of the message of the past. I was keeping track of the counter, I forgot the counter, so no problem, okay? All this, أَنَّهُ, this is all that's in the message of the previous scriptures. Allah is the one who causes death and gives life. He is the one who created him. He himself created two sexes, male and female, from an ejected drop of sperm. Subhanallah, from the same drop of sperm, you know, the same, you know, if you have a brother and sister, right? Their origin is like the same, you know, drop, right? Not from like the same drop as in like, if they conceive at two different times, but their father and mother, assuming, are the same. It was exactly the same substance, but look how different the two turned out to be. خلق الزوجين الذكر والأنثى, male and female. Totally different, like physiologically, differences emotionally, differences in appearance, but the origin, the source is the same. Subhanallah. That is something to consider. وَأَنَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُخْرَى. He will soon bring a second creation. He will bring us back to life. If he can create you from that, then bringing you back to life is easier. He is the one who gives wealth and possessions. He is the one who أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى. He gives wealth and he also gives contentment. Because sometimes they're opposites. A person can have wealth and no contentment. And a person can have contentment and at the same time no wealth. But the ideal combo is you have both things. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ رَبُّ الشِّعْرَى. He is the Lord of Sirius, the star, not the radio station. وَأَنَّهُ أَهْلَكَ عَادًا الْأُولَى. He was the one who totally destroyed the original Aad, the original ancestors of the Arabs. And Thamud tribes, and they did not remain behind. The people of Noah before, not because Allah was unjust, they were even more unjust and insolent. The towns, the overthrown towns of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَةَ أَهْوَى. فَغَشَّهَا مَا غَشَّى. Covered them from sight forever. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكَ تَتَمَارَى. Which of your, then of your Lord's signs do you cast doubt upon? Subhanallah. This is the question. This is the unity of the message. The divine message of the Prophet today, revealed by Allah through the Quran, and the divine message, هذا نذير من النذر الأولى. This is a warning like those of the former times. All that previous wisdom, the message of the previous revelations, this is a warning just like that. It includes that warning and more. أزفت الأزفة. Understand that the hour has that was to come draws even nearer. ليس لها من دون الله كاشفة. And none can avert it but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning it is in Allah's hand entirely. Just like the divine revelation is in the hands of Allah entirely, just like our creation is in the hands of Allah entirely, just like our, you know, fate is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entirely. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ Do they find these tidings strange? Or do you, excuse me, find these tidings strange? And you laugh and not weep. وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ Okay? You rather laugh than weep. This goes back to the idea of الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ Those who are lost in their fickle play and enjoyment and entertainment. You are rather be entertained and laugh all the time, or you don't want to take this thing seriously, because when you take it seriously, it causes you weep. It causes you to weep because you realize you have flaws and you need the mercy of Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ While you remain proudly heedless, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ Resolve this now by prostrating yourself to God, وَاعْبُدُوا And worship Him alone. And this is also a place of sajda. I encourage you to make it after the class, inshallah ta'ala. Surah number 54, excuse me. Surah 54, Surah Al-Qamar. Al-Qamar. Al-Qamar means the moon. What is it talking about? Ayah number one explains. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The hour draws near and the moon is split asunder. The moon has been split. This is the splitting of the moon that was a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. The people of Mecca asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, not Ya Rasulullah, Ya Muhammad. They would say, Oh Muhammad, if you are a prophet, then show us a miracle, show us a great magic trick. The Prophet said, what would you like to see? And they said, we would like you to split the moon. And then by the permission of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ pointed at the moon and it split for some moments and then it rejoined afterwards. This was something that everybody saw in Mecca when they're like, oh. And then at the end, as a result of this, it should be clear. Now this is a Prophet of Allah, right? But what happens? وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ But when they see a sign, those who deny their truth turn their backs and say, سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ Same old sorcery. Or this is a very persistent magic. مُسْتَمِرٌ is something that's consistent or persistent. Yeah, something that's going on. So like, wow, this magic is so, like, it's so far-reaching that even the moon seems like it's broken up to us. وَكَذَّبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ The truth is they deny the truth and they follow their own whims and desires. That's why they reject the Prophet. Even after he does what they asked him to do, still they said, no, he's not really a real prophet. This is really a very cool magic trick. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِرٍ And every matter has its appointed time. Allah will hold them accountable. They have, many warnings have come to them. Many warnings have come to them. حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ Profound in wisdom. فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ But this profound wisdom and these warnings have been of no avail to these people. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ What do you do, O Prophet? Notice the trend. When the Prophet has done his job, he's conveyed, you know, he's not there to change their minds. He's there to convey. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ So now you turn away from them. Ignore them is an okay transition, but turn away. Like now leave them and move on. You've done your job. Continue as long as you are there to do your job, but your job is not to change their minds. يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ The day when the crier will call out about a horrible event. This is going to be the day of judgment. That's when the, you know, accountability will take place. خُشَّعَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ With downcast eyes, they shall come out of their graves as if they were locusts milling about. كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ Not a great translation there. جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ is how if you've seen a locust, like an attack of locusts or something, right? As they spread, the locusts, they emerge from like a place, right? And they just spread, like it's like a, almost like an endless line. That's what's going to seem like on the Day of Judgment. People are emerging from their graves, like one after the other, endless line of just people popping out of the earth. كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ But this, when this is happening, these people are going to be humbled. Their eyes are going to be lowered. They know that this is what they were being warned of, and now the day has come. مُهْطِعِينَ إِلَى الدَّاعِ They're racing towards the caller, because the caller here is the one who's resurrecting them, right? The blowing of the trumpet the second time, the angel that's calling out the people, okay? They're rushing to that. يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَسِرٌ. The disbelievers will say, this is a difficult day. This is Surah Al-Qamar. It's a glimpse of Allah's punishment. It's a glimpse of Allah's punishment. It talks about the people of Makkah rejecting the Prophet ﷺ as he performed a miracle that they asked. It talks about then the day of judgment. That's going to be a frightening day. When those who reject it, they will come to see the fruit of their rejection. Then it speaks about history. As I mentioned, Quran uses history frequently to make a point. He's going to speak about history. And it will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repeat a few phrases. Four times he will say, we have made the Quran easy for remembrance. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Four times that will repeat. Okay. And three times it will say, how was my punishment? One time it will say, taste my punishment. You can add the two together and it's three and one is four. Four times he's going to talk about my punishment. How was it or taste it? Okay. And four times this is done because the story of Nuh is mentioned, the story of the people of Ad, the people of Thamud, and the people of Lut is mentioned here. So these four, at the conclusion of each of these stories, this is what Allah repeats, that this Quran is easy for remembrance, meaning this Quran is there to remind you of what's going to happen to the people who rejected the truth. The glimpse of Allah's punishment from history, this Quran is giving you so that you can be reminded. And then number two that says, how was his punishment or taste his punishment? Look at this. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nuh. كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونٌ وَزْدُجِرٌ. The people of Noah denied before them and they denied our servant and said, a madman. He was repelled. So he made dua. So this is like a fast version of the story. He made dua, my Lord, I am overpowered, so help. So we opened the gates of the heaven with rain pouring down and we caused the earth to burst with springs and the waters met for a matter already predestined. The earth burst into springs. The sky rained like buckets. And the water met. فَالْتَقَ الْمَا. The water rose until it reached the point where Allah had destined it to reach. And on this water, we carried him on a construction of planks and nails. SubhanAllah, what a description. حَمَلْنَاهُ عَلَى ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ. Do you think planks and nails would carry Nuh alayhi salam in this flood or anybody in this flood? It was not the planks and nails. It was Allah who was carrying him. تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا. This is sailing under our observation as a reward for he who had been denied. لِمَنْ كَانَ كُفِرْ. He did his part. He was rejected. And this is the فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُذُرِ. How was my punishment? How severe was it? And then وَلَقَدْ يَسَّنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِمْ مُدَّكِرِ. We have certainly made the Quran easy for remembrance. Is there anybody who will remember? Then Allah mentions A'ad. He mentions A'ad. How was my punishment? He said, we sent them upon them a screaming wind on a day of misfortune. Okay, and it did what? It extracted people as if they were trunks of palm trees uprooted. How was my punishment? How severe was it? وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. We have made the Quran easy for remembrance. Is there anybody who would take heed? Anybody who will remember? كَذَّبَ ثَمُود. Thamud denied. They said, is this man? We should follow this man. We're going to be crazy if we follow him. We'll be in madness. We will be in error. He is the one who Allah chose. أُلْقِيَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِ مِن بَيْنِنَا. Has the message been sent down upon him from us? He was chosen of all people. بَلْ هُوَ كَذَّابٌ أَشِرٌ. He is an insolent liar. Allah says, they will know soon. They will know tomorrow who is an insolent liar. They will know soon, right? What happened? Allah sent a she-camel, a camel, as a test for them. And he told Salih alayhi salam, فَارْتَقِبْهُمْ وَاسْطَبِرْ. Be patient. Watch what happens. Tell them that the drink is shared. The water is shared. One day the camel will drink. One day your cattle will drink. كُلُّ شِرْبٍ مُحْتَضَرٍ. Each day of drink attended by turn. But then this was unbearable for them. So they called their companion. فَنَادَوْ صَاحِبَهُمْ. They plotted. فَتَعَاطَى فَعَقَرٍ. And he dared them. to do this. This is like the colluding of those nine people, remember? So they were daring each other. That one person daring them to do this, fa'aqar, and they then hamstrung the camel. And that unleashed the punishment was of Allah. And what was that punishment? A sayhatan wahida, a blast from the sky. One blast. And then they became kahashim al-muhtadhir, like tiny, like dried twig fragments of animal pen. Okay. Hashim al-muhtadhir is basically like, you know, like the remnants, stubble that's trampled upon. The Quran, that's how they were turned. They were destroyed to that level. The Quran has been made easy to learn lessons from it. Allah has made it easy to learn lessons from it. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. So we can take the guidance from it. It's been made easy for that. Is there anyone who's up for the challenge? Okay. Lut alayhi salam is mentioned. Okay. They were destroyed, of course. And then Allah mentions similarly, فَذُوقُوا عَذَابِي وَنُذُرْ, ayah number 39. Taste my punishment. And now that you have scorned my warnings. And concluding with, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. We made the Quran easy to learn lessons from. We made it easy to learn lessons from the Quran. Is there anybody who would take the reminder, take the lessons? People of Fir'aun are mentioned because just like the people of Quraysh, they demanded miracles. They got many miracles. كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. But they rejected all of them. So what happened? فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ أَخْذَ عَزِيزٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. We seized them with the seizure of one mighty and omnipotent, right? The most devastating way. Okay? This is the question now that being asked of the people of Makkah. أَكُفَّارُكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أُولَٰئِكُمْ. Are your people, are your kuffar, those who deny the truth, are they better than those? Or do you think you have some immunity? Or do you say, نَحْنُ جَمِيعٌ مُنْتَصِرٌ. We are united groups, so we are not going to be hurt. We are going to win. Right? What is it? You are doing the same thing that Fir'aun did. You're doing the same thing that the people of Nuh did. You're doing the same thing that the people of Aad and Thamud and the people of Lut did. Right? Rejecting of a prophet. Not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being immoral. You're doing all that. What reason would Allah have to not destroy you? Are you better than them? Or do you have like some sort of immunity? أَمْ لَكُمْ بَرَاءَةٌ فِي الزُّبُرِ. Or do you think that you are so strong and powerful together, no one can touch you? None of those are true. The reality is, سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرِ. The hosts shall be routed and be put to flight, meaning you will be punished. And on the day of judgment, بَلِ السَّاعَةُ مَوْعِدُهُمْ وَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرْ. The day of doom is their appointed time. That's when they'll be held accountable. And that will be the most severe and the most bitter time. The criminals, al-mujrimeen, that's the word for that, is the criminals. They are sunk in error and folly. Again, when you reject the message after having received it, that is what makes a person a mujrim, a criminal. يَوْمَ يُسْحَبُونَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ. On the day when they are dragged into the fire on their faces, it will be said to them, feel the touch of the fire of hell. This is ذُوقُ مَسَّ سَقَر. This is ignominy that's heaped upon them. Taste the punishment. It's not just a taste, it's like enveloping them. But these words are said to drive home the punishment to a next gear. Drive the punishment to a next level. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Everything we have created in due measure. We've command but once. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. It's done in the twinkling of an eye. The command of Allah is executed in the twinkling of an eye. When it does come. Just because it hasn't come, just because you feel like you can get away scot-free with everything, doesn't mean that you will not be held accountable. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا أَشْيَاعَكُمْ. We have destroyed many people before you. Is there anybody who will take admonition? Is there anybody who will take heed? Everything, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَعَلُوهُ فِي الزُّبُرِ. All of their deeds are recorded. They were held accountable. Every small and every big thing is noted down. مُسْتَطَرْ. From the word satar, which is a line. Everything is written down line by line. They're going to be held accountable in that level. What do you think about yourself? You think you will not be held accountable? That is the question Allah wants us to think about. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ, as is the way of the Qur'an. After mentioning punishment, Allah mentions His mercy. The God-conscious will find themselves in gardens and rivers. That's nice, you know, enjoyable, that's beautiful. But what's amazing is in the seat of truth, فِي مَقَعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ, with an all-powerful sovereign, we will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, seeing Him, being in His presence. That will be the ultimate pleasure. We ask Allah for that pleasure. Because the Prophet used to make dua, oh Allah, give me the ability, or give me the pleasure of seeing you on the day of judgment and in Jannah. And give me the desire to meet you, meaning give me the ability to do good now, so that when I die and I'm resurrected, I am looking forward to seeing you. في مقعد صدق عند ملك مقتدر, in the street of truth with an all-powerful sovereign. Surah Ar-Rahman begins beautifully with Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. علم القرآن, He has taught the Quran. خلق الإنسان, He taught the Quran, He created man. علمه البيان, He taught him speech. Very beautiful introduction. It talks about the blessings of Allah. 31 times the phrase, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Ayah number 13, this phrase, which of your Lord's favors will you deny, repeats 31 times in this surah. When a phrase repeats, that's really the purpose of what Allah wants us to take away. That is what He wants us to think about. Which of Allah's favors will you reject? تُكَذِّبَانِ and رَبِّكُمَا is actually in the dual. Okay, the dual here is man and jinn. They're both being addressed in the surah. This is a unique part of the surah, that the man and jinn are being addressed as a pair in the surah. Okay, the beginning of the surah is very beautiful. We recognize Allah through His blessings and favors. One of His greatest favors is He has revealed the Quran and taught us that. His final revelation, His timeless miracle, His eternal guidance. His miracle, his favor is He brought us into existence. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ, and taught in not just speech. Speech is, that's not a good translation. Al-Bayan is communication. And this includes everything. It includes speech, includes writing, includes poetry, includes prose, and includes all types of media. Everything is Al-Bayan. Our way of expressing our ideas to each other. That is Al-Bayan. Okay, now there's a beautiful thing here. Quran is a type of bayan, it's expression of ideas, right? That is from Allah. Our ability to express our ideas are also from Allah. Okay, the Quran is expressing the best of ideas, and we have the ability to express ideas, al-bayan, as well. But also think about this. That's one, you know, part to consider, like some parallel there. But also consider how humans are the only creatures on earth, in the natural world, who have the ability to do al-bayan, who have the ability to express ideas. The animals communicate. We know that from science. We know that from the Quran. We know that factually, right? But they don't have al-bayan. They don't have the ability to express feelings, emotions, poetry, prose, content, media, nothing of that. Okay. Whereas that's a uniquely human thing. That's a very important thing, because Allah says that He has given you this ability, has made you unique, unlike anybody else. That's why you are going to be held accountable. You are asked about the favors of Allah because you have the ability to process and learn and understand them. Okay, this was actually the first surah that the Prophet ﷺ or the Muslims recited publicly. The first surah that was publicly recited, and it was done by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and he was beaten to an inch of his life by the disbelievers who couldn't bear the sight of him reciting this Quran in public. Ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bi-husban, the sun and the moon move according to a fixed reckoning, a fixed motion. They're predictable. You can predict when the sun rises. You can predict when the moon is born. وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ, the stars and the trees bend in prostration. This is a prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He knows it's the howness of it, but the the spiritual nature of it is mentioned here in the Quran. They are submitting and they're making a prostration in a way that we don't know. Allah knows. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ He's raised the heavens and set up the measure so that you do not transgress the measure. This measure, al-mizan, is the balance of the world that Allah has set it up. Do not وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ Be just with measure, right? Like when you are dealing with each other, when you're dealing with people, be just with the measure. That's al-wazn, okay? Meaning, when you in your dealings, be fair. Don't be oppressive. وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ Do not give short measure to the people. The whole idea is don't ruin the world after Allah has set it in this perfect balance. Don't exploit it. Don't rip others off for your own gains, harming others, not caring about what cost there is being born because of your exploitation. And subhanAllah, how the humans have ignored that. وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ He has laid out the earth for His creatures. In this earth, it's not just for us, it's for all of Allah's creatures. We share the earth with all of Allah's creatures. On the earth is fakiha, our fruits and palm trees with sheathed clusters of dates, and grains with their husk and fragrant plants. وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ وَالْرَيْحَانِ This is beautiful. There's a grain like, you know, like the grain of, like say, flour, right? That doesn't have like a scent in itself. It's just, you know, just a crop. Whereas there's fragrant plants that are used for, like they smell fragrant. And they're used in the production of, you know, all different types of colognes and whatnot. وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ وَالْرَيْحَانِ This is a sign. One for food, one for beauty and pleasure. Okay? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which of your Lord's wonders will you deny? After seeing His signs, which of these would you deny, O people? Okay? He speaks about the creation of humans, the creation of jinn. How will you deny the wonders of your Lord? He speaks about that He is the Lord of the two Easts and the two Wests. This idea, Mashriqaini wa Rabbul Maghribain, is that how the sun, you know, in like its highest point, or in like the in the point of the shortest day and the longest day, right? The times are so vastly, like the day is so vastly different in its length, right? And if you consider the place where it rises, you know, that also is affected by the place of where the earth is in its motion around the sun, right? So it's alluding to that, how the disparity of the longest and the shortest day, how great that is. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَالْمَغْرِبَيْنِ فَبِأَيِّ أَلَى Which of your Lord's favors will you deny? Sorry, I said flavors. getting close to iftar time, huh? مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ The oceans are merging, converging. And then there is between the two, oceans and fresh water, but there is a boundary that they don't cross. There's like a barrier that forms naturally. And that's a sign from Allah. From this comes pearls and corals. There are ships that are lofty that sail the oceans. Which of your Lord's favors will you deny? Everything that you see will die, will perish. The only thing that will remain is your Lord in majesty and glory. He is the one everybody asks Him. Everybody depends on Him. Everybody needs Him. Okay. But on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn to us, al-thaqalan, jinn and mankind. And Allah will ask us and hold us accountable. When He holds us accountable, ayah number 41, يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ The guilty will be recognized by their marks on their faces. Their faces will tell you that they're guilty and they will be dragged into punishment. As a result, but the one who, ayah number 46, who fears the standing of his Lord, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ They will have two gardens. You know, this is an expression, okay, of enjoyment. They are going to be gardens of spreading branches. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ In it are two springs flowing. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ In it, there will be fruit of every kind. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ In it, there's going to be, they're going to be reclining on carpets lined with rich brocade. Fruits of all types, easy within reach. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Made in some modest gaze whom neither a man or jinn had ever touched before them. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ As if they will be so beautiful as if they're corals and rubies. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ In fact, this is a description of the women of paradise, the believing ones and the ones who are this is actually qasirat is actually the expression here is for the women of paradise, the believing women who were believers in the world. When they get to Jannah, that is how they will be. Yaqutu wa rajan, you know, like corals and rubies. There is heavenly creatures that Allah has created in heaven as well, hurun. But that is not, this ayah is not referring to that. This is talking about the believing women. They are a rank above, many, many ranks above those heavenly creatures because they were the ones who believed and did good. And then because of their good deeds, they ended up in paradise. So this surah, we'll conclude with this ayah. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ Is the reward of goodness shall be nothing but goodness. And that was what we pray for. That is what we work towards. We ask Allah to give us the best reward, inshallah, in this life and the next life. And then He allows us to attain paradise. Surah Rahman is very beautiful. A recounting of Allah's blessings. Which of them will you deny? Jazakumullah khairan for staying to the end. And here is the link for the survey for what comes after. What should we do afterwards? I would request.